Mark chapter number 16. Start with me, please, in verse number 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. I like that right there. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Pastor Chad, would you ask the Lord to bless the preaching, please?
Father, Lord, we come before you this morning just with a thankful heart for Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you be with my mind this morning now. Lord, give them the words that you'd like to come out. Lord, also give us ears to hear the Word of God. I pray that you clear every distraction from our minds and our hearts. We'll be tuned into your word. Lord, I pray that you receive the honor and glory today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now we come to a passage of Scripture here that is unbelievably hated by your adversary, the devil. He not only hates this, but so do Pharisaical Christians who don't want to do what God said to do. The devil hates this passage of Scripture because in this passage we read this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you and I our marching orders until he comes back. He's given us direction as to what we are to be doing while we're in this earth. He said, occupy till I come. So there's a job you and I have that we ought to be accomplishing and we ought to be getting done. And when we fail to get that job done, bad things begin to happen. You know the devil hates this passage because on Sunday nights we've been going through our King James Bible series and we've been trying to lay the foundation as to why we would say something so extreme as that we believe the King James Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Actually, somebody came to me and said, here, another preacher across town gave some family members of mine this book, and this book actually calls our position and many of the people that you reference and many of the people that you read, they say that we are extremists, and they call us all kinds of names in this book saying that we're dangerous and extremists. And I found that to be actually quite funny, to be honest with you. There's nothing extreme at all about believing God. I mean, that to me makes perfect sense. They say that we're closed-minded and that we're not really all that educated, when the fact of the matter is the people in that book that they're bashing have got more education than the ones criticizing them do. And I'm not talking about education from your Bible college where you went there and you apple-polished the preacher for a while and you worked real hard to get some recognition and you wore your suit exactly right and you walked right and you held every standard that the other guy held to make him happy so they give you an honorary doctorate degree or they get you through and give you their paper degree. I'm talking about people that have degrees from Harvard and Yale that are earned, that are high level, graduate level degrees that believe the King James Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Now, if that kind of silliness as far as their education matters a lot to you, there you go. God raises them up on purpose to help you and I get a little stronger and be able to answer these yahoos who think they're educated and want to tear God down. And it gets me mad. It gets me real mad. Amen. Now, it may seem extreme to them, but it doesn't to me. I believe, by the way, I have more reference material in my library, you're free to go look, that is not favorable or even along the lines of, even in tune with, even agreeable to the King James Bible. Did you know that? I have more corrupt Bibles in my library than I have King James Bibles in my possession. I knew something was wrong with him. Nothing's wrong. I believe this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired. I'll show you on Sunday nights why I say that. It's not just a stupid, you know, knee-jerk reaction. Inspired words of the living God, every word of them. You know why I have all the other stuff? So I can read what they say. I mean, I'd be pretty closed-minded and ignorant if I didn't read what they say and give it a shot, wouldn't I? I got it in my library. The devil hates this passage of Scripture, and so do the modern-day Pharisees. Let me give you an example of what they say when they come to these passages of Scripture. If in the other Bibles they don't actually cut it out, if they leave the passage in, what they do is they put a little note there to catch your attention. And they tell you this, some of the oldest manuscripts do not contain verses 9 through 20. A few later manuscripts and versions contain this paragraph, usually after verse 8. A few have it at the end of the chapter. Here's a note right before you get to verse number 9 that they put right in the middle there. So as you're reading the text, you're forced to come across this as you're reading. The most reliable manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. Now let me read you another note from another very, very well-educated man. He says this, the passage from verses 9 to the end of the book is not found in the Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus. Listen, if I lose you on this, just do your best to stay with me, okay? And get what you can get and come back on Sunday nights and we'll make all this kind of make sense. So we're just kind of throwing some seed out there. Get what you can get, okay? And if you keep coming, you'll put it together. Alexandrian scholars are infatuated with these corrupt manuscripts because they believe these manuscripts are the oldest, hence they are the closest to the originals. The Nestle's Greek test is based upon these two manuscripts. The Codex Alexandrinus and the said manuscripts are in the Alexandrian family of manuscripts. These manuscripts form the basis of the New Bibles since 1880. Alexandrian scholars claim the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus are the best manuscripts. In 1481, the Codex Vaticanus was found in the Vatican Library. It is still housed under lock and key in that pagan library. It wasn't anywhere else. It was trapped. I'll show you why that's important tonight. It was trapped. It wasn't being spread. It wasn't being duplicated. It wasn't being put out into the common man's hands like you got in your lap this morning if you got a King James Bible. This godless piece of trash, you see why I like this guy, don't you? Omits, and then he goes through a long list of passages and books that it omits, okay? We're going to go through that in our Sunday night series. We'll show you this stuff. It adds the Apocrypha. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, well, the King James Bible had the Apocrypha in it? I got a replica in my office. You know what they did? They pulled all the apocryphal books out of the text, and they put it in the little passage, and it says Old Testament. There's the end of the Old Testament. Apocrypha. Then it says New Testament. They pulled it out and put it in the middle so you'd know that those are just some kind of old religious writings, but they're not inspired Scripture. They didn't put it in the canon because the King James translators recognized that it was not faithful with the rest of the Word of God. These manuscripts that those same guys tell you, listen, they tell you, oh, the King James Bible has the Apocrypha in it. They're giving you like that whole Abraham-Jacob thing, that half-truth. That's a whole lie. Yeah, the Apocrypha's in it, but they cut it out and put it in there so you know it wasn't text. But the same guys use a text that incorporates it throughout the book, making it look like it's part of text, part of Scripture. They're just snakes in the grass. And they start saying things like Codex Sinaiticus and Codex Vaticanus and the oldest manuscripts and the MMS and all the different, you know, little abbreviations that they have for the manuscripts and what they're talking. And it just buries you unless you've gone to school to get a theology degree. Who spent 8 or 15 or 12 or whatever it is years getting their doctor's degree in theology that can argue. You know what they're doing? They're pulling a trump card on you. You know, I did a little research on that. You know what happens? A trump card is rarely as effective when it's used more than once. You know what I want to do? I want to help you make that thing not effective on you at all. They say, well, the oldest manuscripts, I want to give you an answer, and that's what we're doing on Sunday nights. To help you know why we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. He goes on. It adds the Apocrypha. The Sinaiticus was found in a garbage pile in St. Catherine's Monastery in 1844. Some monk or some priest recognized the thing was a piece of trash and threw it away, and somebody else pulled it out. It omits several words, phrases, clauses, and entire verses. It adds two books, the Shepherd of Hermas, the Epistle of Barnabas. If these manuscripts are the best, they should agree, the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, that all the new Bibles come from, where they say to omit the last half of Mark 16. Are you with me? All right, now, the Sinaiticus differs from the Vaticanus over 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. Over 3,000 times they disagree. You know what you got? Mass confusion if you're putting your faith in the oldest. You know why the good ones didn't last that long? They were being used. They got wore out. So they had to copy them. Well, a man wrote the Bible. It's just a copy of a copy. Come back tonight. Tonight I'm going to show you what God thinks of originals. Just from the Bible. We're just going to run some Bible references, and I'm going to show you what God thinks of originals, what God's habit is, and God's behavior in dealing with originals. This is the faithful manuscripts are called the majority text, or the Textus Receptus, received text, which is the Byzantine family of manuscripts. This is the basis for the King James Bible. Watch it. The vast majority of manuscripts, 80 to 90%, come from the Byzantine family. Over 600 manuscripts bear witness to Mark 16, 9 through 20, but the two favorites of the Alexandrian cult do not. What's the Alexandrian cult? These guys writing the new Bibles and saying this part should be omitted and this should say, and a better rendering is. He says the hypocrisy of Alexandria is exposed. The preservation of the words of God is found in the 1611 authorized King James Bible. So tonight, this morning, you're going to find out your devil, your adversary, does not want you to know some of this stuff. You know why he doesn't want us to know this stuff? Because it's God's marching orders. And you know what you're going to find in 90% of the churches you go in or more? You're going to find they're not obeying their marching orders. What's the matter with the church today? I'll tell you what's the matter with the church today. It's disobedience. That's what's wrong with the church today. How come God's not blessing? God's not blessing disobedience. God's not blessing rebellion. God's not blessing a refusal to obey what God said. And that's not easy for any of us in our human nature, is it? Amen. So what are we supposed to be doing? Our marching orders are found in verse number 15. You know what Jesus said? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be going with the gospel. Go. First two letters of gospel is go. We're supposed to be going. You know what the problem is? The problem is most of the time we're not effective with the gospel. The gospel's effective. We're not. What's the problem? The first problem is most of the time we lack a walk with Jesus Christ. We lack a walk with Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the countryside. You know why we're not a very powerful witness? We ain't walking with Jesus. You know what it takes to be effective with the gospel? It takes a personal, private, and quiet walk with the Lord Jesus Christ for the gospel message in our lives to be effective. I'm not saying the gospel loses its power. I'm saying some people won't listen to us because we don't bear the fruit. We don't bear the mark of the reality of what we say we believe. I can't tell you how many people I've witnessed to that said, I know people that believe like you believe, and they just don't show it. If you can be saved and live like that, I'm a better person than they are. I'm more serious about my works than they are, so my works must save me. Because you walk around saying, oh, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm eternally secure, it's so good to be saved, so good to be saved, it's so good to be saved, and then you walk out in the world like just like the world. There's absolutely no difference. Listen, we're not trying to dress you up like a bunch of, you know, Muslims, all right? We're not trying to put you in head wraps. We're not trying to say, if you're a female, you must wear a skirt all the time. The only thing I find in the Bible is his skirt, her skirt, his skirt. You know what the difference was? Between a man's skirt and a woman's skirt? Men wore a belt to put a sword on. Men's folded left over right so he could reach in and grab the sword. Today, men's shirts still do the same thing. Left over right. Women's go the other way. You know what else he did? He had that belt on with the sword on it. He could reach in to grab that sword. And you know what it said? Gird up your loins like a man.
That means pants, brother.
Look, I don't care if you believe that. I really don't. Praise God. If you think that's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, knock yourself out. We don't want people around here like that. Sure we do. We put up with you. Amen. If that's what you believe God would have you to do, do it. You're not going to get that look from me. But don't say it's Bible. I mean, get a brain. Read. Study. Figure out. Just show yourself approved unto God, not the brethren. God bless them. I love them. I'm thankful for them. But I don't have to be approved of them. I got to be approved of Him. Gird up your loins like a man. Essentially, think of Peter Pan and his little blousey thing. They'd pull up the front, grab the back, pull it up, tuck it into the belt, and run. I'm not trying to make you look like a weirdo. But good night, man. Shouldn't there be a difference? Shouldn't the lost world say there's something about them people that ain't the same? They're modest. They're kind. They're genuine. They're pure. They're not cracking dirty jokes and innuendos all the time. They don't watch a bunch of stuff. They don't like it when you start using the wrong kind of language. Something about them changes when you're using the wrong kind of language about around them. And I'm out at the bars and in the honky-tonks down south, but up here, you know, the little dance clubs and all that kind of stuff. They're not acting like that. There's something different about those people. Hey, their social life is in the house of God. Their entertainment time is a revival meeting with some good singing. Hey, they get excited about the things of God. It means something to them. Our walk doesn't match our witness. I'm not for lifestyle evangelism versus the gospel. I'm against it. Well, I just show them by my life. Hogwash. Ever have a Mormon walk up to you and just like, man, they're so clean cut and always dressed nice. And, you know, JW has come to your door. Lifestyle evangelism doesn't get the gospel out. By the way, they're swarming Brother Chad's neighborhood. So he's writing up a flyer. He's going to give to his neighbor how to answer a JW. And I told him, get it done and we'll pass them out of church. When they come through your neighborhood, grab those flyers. Don't just go out and give them out. Wait. When they come through, wait, timing is everything. Understand that? Everything's everything. The right thing at the wrong time can be the wrong thing. So wait, when they come through your neighborhood, grab those flyers after they leave and go just run out. When you catch your neighbors outside, they're not going to, hey, I don't know if they drive you guys crazy. They drive me nuts. Here, my pastor gave us one of these. This will help you. Just give that to them the next day. It tells them who Jesus Christ is, how he died on the cross. And just get at your neighbors, amen. They won't even realize you're doing it. Woo! That's fun, man. Wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Amen. Our walk ought to match our witness. You know what those guys are doing? They're out walking in the countryside. You know where they're at? They're in a place where they're alone. And they're walking. Do you get alone and walk with Jesus? You got a prayer life? Do you actually pray? Like on your knees? I pray while I'm driving. I pray while I'm sitting. I pray all the time, brother. No. Do you get alone and pray focused on prayer? Focused on Jesus? Walking with them. They're walking in the countryside by themselves. Me and my wife had to drop our kids off Friday night. Praise the Lord to Nana. Amen. That's a good time. I recommend it. If you're married and you got little kids, got to do it. So refreshing. You sit there and you just dream about like when they're all grown up and gone. I'm just kidding. I love my kids. Relax. We want them back when they come back. But we're glad that we got each other while they're gone. Amen. So we were already in Ann Arbor. So we went. We just hit the close. We were starving. Hit the closest restaurant. Kids are gone. Praise the Lord. It's a lot cheaper without them. Amen. Hallelujah. And we get out and we're just kind of like, she's like, how can you get all tense? She said, I thought you were a city kid. He said, you know what? I always have been. I don't think I am anymore. The environment just isn't conducive to the purity in them. I know, go to school, whatever you got to do. Don't become weirdos. I'm just making the point. Ain't nothing like getting alone with Jesus Christ. There's just nothing like it. These guys are walking down the road to Emmaus, and little do they know, Jesus shows up. Don't go over there for the sake of time, but in Luke chapter number 24, they're walking along, and the Bible says that they're sad. You walk with Jesus when you're not feeling like it. You walk with Jesus when you're depressed. You walk with Jesus when times are bad. That's usually when we stop, isn't it? That's usually when we quit going to church. We quit reading our Bible. We quit praying because things aren't going our way. Listen, you'll never be a powerful servant of Jesus Christ if you quit when the chips are down. If you quit when you get upset. If you quit when something doesn't go your way. One of the biggest problems in church today is somebody gets their feathers ruffled. Something doesn't go their way. So they're out of here. Listen, that's not a soldier of the cross. And it ain't digging in and declaring war on the church either. It's being man enough and being woman enough and having enough character to say, you know what? It might not be going my way. But I know who's here. See, they didn't realize he was there. But if you're saved this morning, what did he tell you? He'd never leave you or forsake you. I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. He said he wouldn't leave. He's there. Things aren't going very good. He's there. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when the offerings are up, Jesus is here. Amen. Wait, praise the Lord, man. Woo, what a blessing. What are we going to do? God, what do we do with it? Where do we go? Where do we go? Let's go, let's go! You know what else I've figured out? I've figured out when the offerings are down and we don't hit budget, Jesus is here. And you want to know something? As long as Jesus is here, I'm good. When the attendance is up, boy, that's exciting, isn't it? I mean, we had like 30-something people out on vacation and whatnot. It's not, you know, almost everybody was accounted for, and it wasn't a big deal. Almost 30-something people gone last week, and we still had over 100 people in church on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Hey, that's exciting when the house is full. Hey, Jesus is here. But I've also figured out I'd rather have an empty house with Jesus than a full house without Him. It's great when He's there. It's your walk. You know what that walk was? Go over there to Luke 24. You got to look at it. Look, Luke chapter 24, please. Show you where that walk's at. Luke 24, verse 25. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And when they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it was toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now watch it. Then said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures? You know what that walk is? That walk is in the Word of God. I already mentioned prayer to you, but listen, you cannot be walking with Jesus Christ if you're not reading your Bible. I don't care. Listen, somebody told me, Pastor, even when you say I'm not being mean, you're still being mean. But it's just my way of saying I'm not trying to be mean. So I'm not being mean, but don't give me that. It's just not true. I walk with God, but I don't understand the Bible, and I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm just too busy to read my Bible. You're not walking with Jesus Christ if you're not reading your Bible every single day. Read it. You want to walk with Him? You want to have a powerful witness? Read that book. You want to get into a situation where you don't have the answer. You're not sure what to say. But the Holy Ghost of God gives you an answer for every man that asks you. Hey, it doesn't matter their intellect or their background. You don't even care. God gives you the answer. It comes from being in the book. When you're not witnessing, just walking with Him. It's amazing how He'll pull stuff up. It's amazing how something will come to your mind you ain't read or thought about in months. God will give you an answer. I've discovered it doesn't matter to me and a man's intellect. He'd be a lot smarter than me, and that ain't saying much. Amen. It doesn't matter to me his background, his influence, his power. I don't care if he's been in prison his whole life and he's a tough guy and he's been through the ringer. He's And I don't care if he, you know, he's a professional alcoholic or a dope head. I don't care if he's a CEO of a major corporation. If I got Jesus Christ, if he's, I've been putting that book in me, he's expounding to me the scriptures and that book burns in me, there is something that happens that's not about me and it ain't about him. It's all about Jesus Christ, and there's a power there that's not of myself. I don't realize it. I don't recognize it. Sometimes I'm shocked. But it comes from the book. What happens when I don't get in my Bible? I can get stumbled up by a little kid. It's happened to me. God's whooped me. He'll slap me around a little bit. A little kid tripped me up. Nothing worse. It comes from a walk. That walk's got to be in the Word of God. You'll notice what they said when Jesus Christ was expounding unto them the Scriptures. What did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? Hey, how do you know God's in it? How do you know God's in the preaching? How do you know this is the church you're supposed to be in? Because something inside of you ought to sit there and burn a little bit. You ought to get excited a little bit. Something ought to be stirring up in your soul. That's Jesus Christ expounding the Scriptures. It ain't the preacher. It ain't the style. It's the book. If the book's being taught, it ought to burn in us. How come you yell? I don't like yelling preachers. I'm so sorry. Sometimes I wish I was professional and smooth and intellectual, but I'm not. So what happens is when the book starts burning in me, I react the way I react. It's my personality. That's it. It is what it is. Amen. I've tried to change it, and it just doesn't fit. It's David putting on Saul's armor. I'm going to get killed. Amen. That book ought to burn in you. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9, then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak in his name anymore. You know what happened? Jeremiah's getting backslid. He's getting tired of it. I'm done. He said, but there was a little bit of a problem. The problem was I'd been putting the book in me. And his word, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. You know what will happen if you get the Bible in you? It's got to come out. It's got to come out. It's just got to come out. So you know what happens to churches that don't obey and go and get it out? You know what happened? They'll turn on each other. Start getting critical. Well, you said, and I don't think you can. I don't agree with that. I think that, you know what? Your problem is you're not a soul winner. You know what your problem is? You're not obeying the marching orders. He never said turn the bayonet on me. And I never said I'm right all the time. And I don't even care. I'm over it. Amen.
I think you were wrong about that. Oh, okay. Shock me.
Hey, it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. Amen. And we're all wrong. We're all men. We're all fallible. We're all wrong sometimes. I just have to deal with that. I ain't even letting it get in my heart. Hey, listen, if I get something wrong between me and God, I apologize for that. You know what I'm saying? A good night, the fallibility of a human being, I'm not going to obsess myself with that. I'm a fallible human being, and I may not be right all the time, but guess what? He is, and it's all about Him, and it ain't about turning on each other, it ain't about turning on you, it ain't about turning on me, it's about taking what's burning in our hearts and getting out there in the world and letting them know about Jesus Christ. That'll keep us together. You know what the problem is? In verse number 14, back in Mark 16, verse 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Now watch it. Verse 14, and upbraided them. There's the lovely Lord Jesus. Upbraiding them. How do you like that? Why? With their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You know what the problem with us is and why we're not effective with the gospel? We don't like to take a rebuke. Do we? That starts with your little kids. Have you ever noticed that, parents? You try to rebuke them and it's like, you know, a lot of times why we don't discipline? We don't want to deal with the reaction. We don't want to fight them. It's just too much. It's easier just to let them go. I've seen some little kids in public recently. It was absolutely out of control. And I'm not criticizing, whatever. It just is. It just was what it was. Not that mine are perfect all the time, that's for sure. Amen, parents? Amen? But I mean absolutely out of control. Parents wouldn't even try to restrain them. Crawling around on the floor, just out of control. You know what the kid don't like? They don't like being told what to do. You know why? Got the same nature you and I got. See, we get older and we just learn to... We learn to get a little class and compose ourselves, right? But you don't like it. You don't like it any more than I like it. You know what we got to learn? We got to learn how to take a rebuke. If we're going to be effective in the work God's called us to, we got to learn how to let God just walk along every once in a while with the Word of God and just say, hey, slap. Knock it off. You know what the first he rebuked them for? Their unbelief. Well, it just can't be done nowadays. Well, Jesus said, knock it off. You know what we are? We are people that absolutely lack faith. You're an American, right? Amen? Hello, is there some Americans in here? And guess what? We live by anything and everything but faith, don't we? Just get on the phone and call the government up. Here's my problem. Here's my need. I mean, we got it made, don't we? I get a regular set of calls in here all the time. People wanting money, wanting, you know, bills paid, this kind of thing, that kind of thing, all the time. Constantly. Tell them no and they'll get on you. Start yelling at you sometimes. Well, you know, we're Americans. And we're spoiled. And our bills are paid. And the food's there. Whether we can afford it or not, we get a credit card and just run that up. Can't pay those, file bankruptcy, start all over again. Ever notice how you file bankruptcy and before you know it, you're getting offers for credit cards in the mail? Does that make any sense at all? I never filed bankruptcy, so relax. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Do you believe in God? You believe in God? Do you have, or are you full of unbelief? Do you believe in God? Really? If you believed in God, you know what you'd do? You'd obey Him. You know what the disciples did? They failed to believe His promises. He said He'd come up. He said He'd come up. There He was. They still didn't believe it. Because that was a lot to ask. We saw you die. We saw you torn to shreds. We saw you weak and abused. We saw you take it. I mean, you're dead. It all fell apart. We're hiding out for our own lives. That is ridiculous. That can't be done, Pastor. Are you kidding me? That's asking too much. I mean, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. Yeah, unbelief. That's unbelief. He promised. They didn't believe in His power. They didn't believe in His power. He said, if I lay it down, I'll take it up again, didn't He? There He is standing there. I like Him. No. Hey guys, we saw Him. We saw Him. He said it and He did it. No. We went out door knocking and we saw somebody get saved. Well, they weren't in church on Sunday. Yeah. I guess you're right. Maybe the Lord wasn't using us. Maybe they didn't get saved. Maybe we should forget it and hide out with the rest of the disciples. Because, you know, we're just getting all fired up about nothing and we're getting all stupid. And you're right. Didn't happen. Jesus healed 10. Guess what? All 10 were healed. All 10. Got it. One came back to say thank you. That's the way it is. You know what might be shocking to some of us? It might shock some of us how many people we've led to Christ and we don't know about. And you might find them when you get to heaven. That gospel track you dropped in the bathroom because the Holy Spirit prodded your heart. And you did it. You may be shocked. Unbelief. Don't believe in His power. Don't believe in His presence. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know what we don't believe? We don't believe He's really there and really speaking to us. I told you this Wednesday night. I'm driving through a parking lot this week and I'm on my way out. And there's a Japanese man sitting in his car there as I drove by him. And I'm all fired up listening to my music. I was fired up. Something about being born again or something. I forget what song was being sung, but I was excited, man. It was just kind of like going on inside of me. You know what I mean? Amen. My woofers were boom, you know. And the Holy Spirit said, go back and tell him. Give him a gospel track. I said, Lord, he's a doctor or something, man. He don't want it. He don't think I'm crazy walking up to him, knocking on his window, you know. And I didn't look anything like a pastor. I ain't shaved in a couple days. That's a blessing. Amen. I'm not like some preachers that go fishing and mow their lawn in suits. I just don't do it. I'm sorry. Maybe I should, but I mean, I was a mess, man. I had my hat on. I ain't washed in a long time. It's got the lines on it, you know, from the sweat. Praise the Lord. And I said, I look terrible. And he's got to be a doctor. You know, stereotype. he's a Japanese man in his 50s or 60s. He's got to be a doctor. And he's sitting there reading a book. So he's educated. He's not a dummy. Well, so I'm going to make you miserable. You sitting here all getting all excited about being saved. And he might be going to hell. Doggone it, Lord. All right, fine. And I turn around and I pull up next to him. And I'm sitting there. I'm waiting for him to look at me so I can look at him, make eye contact. And he wouldn't look. I mean, I'm like right there like, can you feel me? I said, get out and knock on his window. I said, no, this is really stupid. But I got out and knock on his window. He rolls his window down. I said, hey, just wanted to invite you to church. I was driving by. I saw you and I felt like the Lord wanted me to come back and invite you to church. And he said, oh, okay, I'm reading a Christian book. I said, what do you know? I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I said, well, how did you become a Christian? He said, I'm a Japanese national, and as a boy in Japan, I wanted to learn English, and I found a place that would teach English for free. So I went, and they were teaching English for free, but they were teaching about Jesus. And I kept going because I actually wanted to learn more about Jesus. And I'm sitting here reading a book, trying to learn more about Jesus, going through some ups and downs in my Christian walk. I said, well, would you come to church? We got talking, a great conversation ensued. Sent him an email. He said, I will try to come to your church this Sunday, so pray, and maybe he'll come next Sunday. But wow. We don't believe God's really working on other people, do we? We don't really believe it's God poking our hearts, do we? And we're ready to just leave thinking, I'm just getting fired up because of the music. You know, the preacher, he's what have people said in the past, sensational. He works on people's emotions. Uh-huh. You don't believe he's really here. Because if he's really here, I can stand here and not move and be monotone and talk. And you're going to feel the exact same thing. Unbelief. Hardness of hearts. Yeah, you remember what Moses said? What Jesus said to Moses? When Moses said, how come you told us in the law to write a bill of divorcement? He said, because of the hardness of your hearts. Christians, you know why you can't work your marriage out? Here comes the rebuke. You lack belief that God can get it done, and you're hard-hearted. He's so hard-headed. He's hard-hearted. She's so hard-headed. No, she's hard-hearted. Amen. Stop it. You've got to win. Got to have it your way. There's no, watch the word. Yes, I'm a Bible believer, but watch the word. There's no compromise. My way or the highway. All the time. You're hard-hearted. The reason you and I don't win more souls to Jesus Christ, the reason you can look at your lost loved ones and not weep, is because you're hard-hearted. The reason we look at them with the tats. Relax if you got tats. Half our church has tats, amen. This is the church of tatted deacons, and they're not going out and getting them yesterday. I was thinking, cut them off. Had them before. Amen. And I hope we pack the place out with them. God help me. I'm trying to preach it, but I'm trying not to be mean to people too. Hard-hearted. We look at the tats. We look at the problems. We look at the effects of sin. And we go, who are you? Well, we got it together. I'm accomplished. I'm a godly man. Who would ever do that stuff? Who do you think you are? Hey, but for the grace of God, there go I. I don't care who it is. I don't care what their sin is. I don't care what their problem is. Hey, listen to me this morning. I'm going to say it. I hate the homosexual agenda. You hear that? And I am not sorry. I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I planned on saying it. So I'll say it again just so you know, I am not losing it. I hate the homosexual agenda. Amen. You know why? They're pushing their agenda on me, on my family, on my children. Listen, bro,
you don't got the brains to know how to procreate. Don't try to recruit my kids. Amen. I'm sorry it doesn't work out for you. But we got God's plan. So God gave them to us because we're following God's plan. And we'll tell them what to believe, not you. Amen. You know what bothers me? Really bothers me? Nowadays, you come into church, this is how bad our nation is and how hard-hearted we are. Well, you shouldn't talk like that about somebody else's preference. In a Bible-believing church, are you kidding me? I can't let it go here? Really? I mean, are people offended because you preach against... You shouldn't say hate. God said, Jacob have I loved. Esau, not Esau's agenda. Esau have I hated. God loves people who will obey what he said and trust their son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. You die without Jesus Christ and stand before God and say, I don't care that you sent your son for me. I don't care about the price he paid. I figured I could get in. God will hate you. And he'll send you to hell forever. That's hate. That's tough, isn't it? Now, lest the liberals get this and edit it, we'll have the original. Amen. We'll give that to our lawyers. And I'll say, I don't apologize. I don't hate individual homosexuals. See, that's God's business. If he wants to, he will. He'll send them to hell if he wants to. It's not my job, not my business. You know what I want to do? I want to look at that poor guy. Seen one the other day, man. I mean, pink hair, all stretched out ears. He's about that big around, about that wide. About 5'9", 5'10", maybe 110 pounds at the most. Sitting all like that, eating his sandwich. And he wouldn't look up. He wouldn't look at anybody. His legs were crossed. I mean, he was almost contorted sitting in his seat. He looked weird, man. Ghostly white skin. And people were looking at him. Everybody stares at me. You're trying to get everybody to stare at you. Look upset about it. But you know what I sat there and thought? God only knows who abused that kid when he was a little boy. God only knows what he was taught. Never seen a Bible. Never seen a loving mother and father hug each other and kiss each other and be happy in their home. Who knows what? That man needs Jesus Christ. God, don't let me get so hard-hearted as our nation goes to hell in a handbasket and the sodomites try to take over. First of all, don't let me compromise with them. Amen, 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 amen. It's sin. It's wrong. 20 years since high school. I graduated almost 20 years ago. Then, if you called a lost boy a fag, he'd want to beat you up. Nowadays, if you even say fag referencing back then, somebody in here is offended. Insane. I'm going to fight it till I die. Or they cut my tongue out. Then I'll write about it. And they cut my fingers off and I'll figure out another way to do it. Amen. Amen. I'll become one of those cyborgs like I've seen on TV where they're implanting, not on TV, but on my news app where they're implanting technology in their head. You see that? I'll become a cyborg and I'll shoot it out there through airwaves. But I don't want to become so hard-hearted that I failed to try to get him the gospel. Last things in verse 15. He said unto them, go ye. You know what it takes to get the gospel done? A work ethic. To obey the marching orders, not only does it take a walk with Jesus. A walk with Jesus in a quiet place. A walk with Jesus in good times and bad. A walk with Jesus in the Word of God. Not only does it take a willingness to be rebuked for unbelief and hardness of heart. You can be a soul winner. They'll never get saved. People say that to me and I love it. Don't invite him. He won't come. The church will fall down. It'll burn down. You know what I do when they say that to me? I go right after him. Got right in front of one kid about 20 years old. I looked him in the face. He said, what? I said, they said you're not man enough to go to church. That's not what they said. They said, they were right there. They started laughing.
He made me think while I was messing. He said, huh? I said, they said don't invite you, you'll never come. But just looking at you, I think you can't take it.
I can too. I can too.
Prove it Sunday morning. Amen. 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 Don't say you can't. It can't. Your unbelief, your hardness of heart. You don't know what God can do. Amen. By the way, sooner or later, he's going to be back. Pray for him. Redhead Chris. Some of you remember him. Verse 15. It takes a work ethic. He said, go ye. Well, how can you reach anybody if you don't go? It's rocket science, isn't it? That's why you pay me the big bucks. Figure all this out. Go. I want to be a soul winner. Go. I want to obey the Lord and serve the Lord, and I want the Lord to bless my life. Go. If you don't grab some tracks on your way out the door, you're not going to be a soul winner. It's not going to happen. I'm not ready to talk to people. Then drop them in the bathrooms. Join the secret service, but do something. You know what? The word's spreading around here. Somebody from work, it was you, wasn't it, brother? He sent me a text message cracking up saying, the guys at work are all going on about they've seen our bus out there and they want to rent it for one of their drunken parties. Hey, I'm happy they're talking, amen. They ain't renting it, by the way. Amen. Amen, amen. We were in the UPS store. We were getting the bulletins and the handbooks done. And the guy asked my wife how many copies. And she told him, and he said, you wouldn't lie to me. You're doing it here for a church. And I said, she doesn't have to lie for you because God's not that desperate. Amen, amen. He doesn't need to save a couple pennies, amen. That was free. We ain't leasing the bus to anybody, amen. But they're talking. Knock on door, the old lady come to the door, said, I want to get my son in that church. But yeah, you guys have been growing like crazy, haven't you? Well, God's been good to us. You want to be a part of that? You're not ready? That's fine. Hang the flyer and run to the next door. If you're not ready for that, grab the tracks and just do the little when nobody is looking, put one in the door. What if I get yelled at? It's fun. You got yelled at in high school for being stupid. Hey man, it's fun. What if we get kicked out? It's fun. We're at a trailer park over here, the guy pulls up.
What are you guys doing? We're inviting people out to church. No soliciting. He works there. We're not soliciting. Soliciting is selling something. We're not trying to solicit. We're not trying to anything. We're just trying to invite people to church. I'm Pastor Mike. And I stared at him. Well, you can't do that. And I just stared at him. I said, really? He said, well, I don't want God to kill me. You know, the big man upstairs, as long as nobody complains, it's all right. You just stand there and stare, and you have no idea, you know, Lord, help us. What do I say? What do I say? And God's like, oh, don't worry. But don't say anything. I'll tell him I'll kill him. Amen. Hallelujah. That was a blessing, man. Hey, it's fun. It's exciting. Amen. You had a boring Christian life? Just tag along with us for a little while. It doesn't have to be boring. Get involved. Be a part. Open your mouth. Don't be a chicken. What if they make fun of me? Tell them they're closed-minded and bigoted. I do. I use it all back on them. Every liberal term I can scrape together, I use on them. They're judgmental, closed-minded, and bigoted. Watch what they do. Just get in. You gotta go. You gotta have a work ethic. You gotta care. You gotta see that empty pew next to you as God's conviction on your heart. Into all the world. Verse 15, so the job doesn't end. Why are we going to Haiti? Just trying to obey. It was an open door. I could go with the old man that knows all the ropes, knows all the tricks. My first one, I'm tagging along with you. I mean, he's done a ton of them, man. Praise the Lord. He knows what's going on. Buy mosquito repellent. Do this, do that, do the other thing. You won't get sick. I'll do what you say, man. Let's go get it. Amen. I'm right behind you, and I'm way behind you, but I'm behind you. Amen. Let's go. Amen. Into all the world. We'll see what God will do. I'm excited. You know why? Because he doesn't say here or there. He just leaves this wide open command. Go!
So when you start going, you're like, I'm not sure if I'm going the right direction. Don't worry. God will shut that door and open another one. Hey, we have failed. Do you understand that? I can't tell you how many times I personally have failed. I can't tell you how much money that has costed me. Just to make it real, where it really hurts some of you. My failures. But I found that if I keep trying to go, He opens up another door and He provides the money needed there. Hey, I'd rather try and make a mistake than sit around disobediently and not see God move. The only people that are criticizing you for making a mistake are people that never try to do anything themselves. So shut them off. Oh, I wouldn't do that. I know you wouldn't. Amen. That's why I am. I don't want to be like you. Amen. Go. Where? Into all the world? Well, what if we get the copier here and they tell us they don't think they can get it running? Oh, well, we tried. What about the money that was spent? Hey, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I'd rather give him a little bit and have it fail and let him worry about it than get all worked up about it, all upset about it. Hey, God hasn't failed us. He knows what He's doing and He'll open up a door for a bus. So we'll go that way. Hallelujah. That's not rocket science. I ain't talking about being stupid. I'm talking about getting the car out of park. Jesus, take the wheel. Can't. He can turn it all He wants, but you ain't rolling nowhere. Amen. Get moving into all the world. And He tells us what to do. And preach the gospel to every creature. So I know what I'm supposed to do. So we're not going to Haiti to dig wells. I'm not against well digging. We're not going to Haiti to give out cheeseburgers. And I'm not against giving out cheeseburgers. Hey, sometimes people can listen a little better on a full stomach. Amen? That's okay. Jesus fed the 5,000. You know why He fed them? Because they've been sitting there for so long listening to His preaching, He didn't want them to fall out on the way home. You know what His first priority was? The gospel. The problem with mission trips nowadays is it's all about humanitarian this and humanitarian that and humanitarian the other. And if we show them Jesus, they're going to come ask us what's different. They're going to say, hey, those stupid rich Americans, let's get them, man. They got a ton of money. Amen. Oh, this is my crippled child. Will you give us some money? All right, honey, you can quit limping. They gave it to us. The number one priority, preach the gospel. We got a mission. We've been given a commandment, and what I promise you is this, if we'll get moving, He will give us the power to get the job done. You see, in verses 17 through 20, He gave the disciples the power to accomplish what He told them to do. All the signs and the miracles. Now, you know if you've been around here any length of time, and we'll teach on it at another day, but He gave them those signs following them because the Jews require the sign, and their first commandment was to go after the Jews. They did not have a completed book yet. There was no way to confirm the word by chapter and verse marking, to confirm the word like we're doing on Sunday night, showing you science in the Bible before science figured it out. There was no way to confirm the word. So He was confirming the word by His power and allowing them to do miraculous things. Listen, it's a miraculous thing for you and I to preach the gospel to somebody and to see the power of that book get down into that lost man's heart and to bring a proud man and a stubborn man and an educated man to his knees asking Jesus Christ to save him. And He can do it. That's our marching orders. BBC, you want to stay together? There's church splits and all this stuff. You know how many people are sitting out of church this morning because they've been hurt by a preacher or by the brethren or a deacon or something? You know how many people are sitting out of church this morning? God, help us. Your adversary, the devil, hates it when you start doing right. And he wants to stop you. And if he can stop you from obeying what Jesus Christ said to do, before you know it, we're turning on each other. Thank God for a Bible Institute, but that institute's a chance to walk with Jesus so you can get out there and get the job done. You know what we need to do if we want God to bless us and keep us together? Go get Him. If you would, close your eyes, stand to your feet.